Hello and welcome to the 8th Persiflage podcast. I'm going to jump right into this one because it requires a certain amount of description because it's got some interesting, typesetting? Let's say typesetting. Anyway, it starts up with the massive word, hey, followed by an exclamation mark. It's huge. It's like one third of the page. And then underneath it says, it's Persiflage 8. Or actually it says, it's Persiflage VIII. And then there's an asterisk. So we flip it over. There's another asterisk on the back. And it says, I'd just like to apologize for the cheap ploy. It was the marketing guy's idea. HB. So I guess that means that the marketing guy, whoever that was, decided that they needed a grabber at the on the front cover. Anyway, this one's from May 10th, 2001. And the very first thing is a poem. And it's called Apology. My voice went up there at the end because there's a question mark. I'm sorry I called you a moron in the middle of our biggest fight. According to my dictionary, imbecile seems about right. And the poet is Sally Kind. That's kind of funny. All right. The essay. Whoa. Seems like kind of a long one. Is entitled Western Civilization Declines a Little More Swiftly. There are days, and this seems to be one of them, when I think that what we call Western civilization has largely been a mistake. But perhaps I'm just getting grumpy. This morning, in the midst of my post-breakfast constitutional, I happened to spy on the racks at the corner store the new Olsen Twins magazine, $9 Canadian, and that started me off on the wrong foot altogether. Now, I never wanted to lay eyes on such a publication at all, ever, but I certainly didn't want to see it first thing in the morning. At some point, when I'm feeling stronger, when that will be I couldn't say, I will peruse the aforementioned serial and report back to you on its contents. But this morning, I didn't even possess the emotional wherewithal to crack the cover. The thing just threw me and left me wondering what was to become of the human race when it turned to those two cherubic adolescents for advice on anything. I stumbled from the store in a blue funk. In the parking lot, after almost being run over by an SUV, piloted by some yabo on a cell phone, I sat down on a bullard to regain my composure. You would think that as being run down by steel-encased cell phone users is an almost daily occurrence for me, I would handle these little events with a certain amount of equanimity. But if you did, you would be wrong. I was irked. Automatically, I associated the driver of the SUV with the kind of person who would buy Mary-Kate and Ashley's magazine. These are the people who are dragging this civilization through the mud, I said to myself. They're probably Barney fans as well. Barney? What sane individual likes Barney? And yet you can't swing a dead cat, don't try this at home, without hitting his likeness. He's simply everywhere. Now, Barney himself may be a perfectly nice individual, although I've heard reports that he's difficult to work with and has an outrageous rider when he's touring. But that's not really the point. I don't really have a problem with him personally, but it is amazingly hard to account for his popularity. He's one of those celebrities for no discernible reason, like Art Linkletter. His singing voice is not great. His dancing is clumsy at best, and his acting ability, in my opinion, is terribly overrated. A friend of mine saw him as Tom in The Glass Menagerie and said that he ruined an otherwise flawless production. So what is his appeal? It seems to me that our critical faculties have been seriously eroded if we can find wisdom in the words of the Olsen twins or the worn and hackneyed aphorisms of a purple, he still doesn't look purple to me, dinosaur. No wonder we've become a society of inattentive drivers. Our minds have been rotted by this pap. I bet an episode of Barney drops your IQ about 5 points. I know I always feel a lot stupider after I've watched it. So what's to be done? Should we just crawl back into the ocean and start again? No, I don't think so. For one thing, I can't swim, and for another, living where we do, it's a hell of a long crawl to either one of the two closest oceans. I don't think my knees could stand it. So I think the best plan is to get rid of Barney. We'll start with him and then move on to the Olsons. They're just bringing down the tone of the whole civilization. They've got to go. Any volunteers? Oh, that sounded like a threat at the end there. Barney, he used to have a kids show. Maybe some of you never saw it. You didn't really miss anything, I don't think. And the Olsen twins were on some sitcom or other. I want to say Full House. Maybe it was Full House. Who knows? Anyway, they don't seem to be around anymore either. So the writer of this essay, who I'm assuming is Hugh Briss, kind of got his wish. All right. Next up, we have letters from our readers. Interesting. Dear Persiflage, I'd like to know what's happening to Elrose Watermulder. Was he merely left to rot in Fargo? I think it's terribly unfair of you to send some poor correspondent off to some godforsaken spot, provide him with little or no support, and then not even bother to run his pieces in what I have to say seems like a crappy little magazine. Have you no humanity? Signed, A. Pauld. Dear Ms. Pauld, Mr. Watermulder was given an expense account for his trip south with the understanding that he would use it wisely. Given his love of intoxicating beverages and lap dancing, lap is capitalized here and spelt with two P's, it was thought that providing him with more than a modest per diem would be unwise. Future reports from him will be run in this magazine should he ever again submit any that are borderline coherent. When last heard from, Mr. Watermulder was holed up in Cedar Falls, Iowa. This information reached us not from Mr. Watermulder himself, but from law enforcement officials in that pleasant burg. Well, isn't that interesting? Here's another letter. Dear Mr. Briss, I'm writing to complain about your attitude towards marmosets. I don't think your apology, Persiflage number 4, went anywhere near far enough. We were terribly set upon in that awful story. Marmosets are industrious and trustworthy, and we certainly would never be involved in the kind of confidence scheme outlined in your story. If you make any further slurs against us in your magazine, in quotes, rest assured you will be hearing from our legal representatives. Sincerely, Willie Wonty, Marmoset Anti-Defamation League. I had no idea any such thing existed. Here's the response. Dear Mr. Wonty, we apologized already. How much more do you need? We have already assured our readers that we will never again publish any material portraying marmosets in an unkind light. So stop with the threats. I had heard that marmosets were unreasonably litigious, but this is ridiculous. And that's it. No quotations this week. I guess too much room was taken up by the giant hay on the front cover. Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed number 8 and that you will listen to number 9. Goodbye.